Welcome back to FNR Football Nation Radio. It is the Aussies Abroad program. We just spoke with Damien Davies about all of the Australians who are doing great things overseas. And coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Dominic Karasic, a young goalkeeper doing the stuff in the UK. But right now, we're going to have a chat with former Melbourne Victory, Fulham, Norwich City, Chongqing Life fan player, and currently plying his trade in South Korea with Suwon FC. Of course, I'm talking about Adrian Layer. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure, mate. How's life in South Korea treating you?
Yeah, it's been okay. I'm actually back home at the moment. I'm off in the break, so I'm enjoying the sunshine in Janjuk at the moment, which is a nice change.
But look,
South Korea, it's a fantastic country, and I've got my family over there as well. My two young girls are very happy, and my wife's quite happy, and challenging and different environment, but an experience that we all are really enjoying as well.
Did you get into the late night gaming scene over there?
No, not so much. I've got a little one, 3.5, and one and a half. So
the wife wouldn't be too happy if you just ducked on out for 8 hours.
Pretty committed to a lot of family time over there, but look, it's a fascinating country, and there's, I suppose, two completely different sides to it. They stay up all hours, and that's probably a side I haven't seen too much of. But gaming, whatever they get up to, my teammates do it all, and it's quite interesting.
Crazy. They pack out stadiums to watch people play video games. It's quite an extraordinary thing. Now, we had Bruce Jitte on the station a couple of weeks ago, your teammate at Suwon FC. He spoke about the season you've just had and how he was a bit disappointed with how it all finished. What was your take on the season?
Yeah, it was sort of an up and down season. We had a decent squad that probably could have really pushed for promotion, but we just had a bit stop start, a few problems coaching wise throughout. Our coach ended up departing sort of towards the end of the season, so it was a bit disjointed and that's football. Sometimes those sort of seasons happen, and we didn't quite get there in the end. But hopefully next year we can keep building and hopefully push for promotion again.
Now, Bruce doesn't know what he's doing next year. He's out of contract. He said it's the first time he's been out of contract and without a club for a long, long time. What are your movements next year? You're back at Suwon?
Yeah, at this stage it looks like it. I'm also, my contract expires at the end of this year, but currently negotiating with the club, and I think from a family point of view, we're also thinking that from a lifestyle point of view, we're happy there, and my family's comfortable off the pitch, and particularly in Asia, I think that's one of the most important things. So if we can get the deal across the line, then it's looking likely at the moment. So that's probably where we'll most likely end up.
What's life like for a professional footballer in South Korea? Are you a high-profile footballer where you are, or can you sort of blend in and not be noticed? Well, you'll be noticed, but not necessarily recognised?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are probably more famous than me, but it's interesting. You get your odd person that'll say hello, but also a lot of them are quite shy to speak English. So it's not. I wouldn't say it's not really a high profile. It's currently my club's probably, we're the smaller club of the two Suwon clubs. So they're the more higher profile players, but look, it's a great place to live. We really, really enjoy it. It's very, kid friendly. The football can be challenging. Like the pre-seasons are long and hard and you're in camp for sort of 2 months and that's pretty demanding, but once the season gets underway, it's quite normal, and you just enjoy it. It's a decent league and a decent standard, and they've got some very good players.
You also spent a year in China at Chongqing Lifan. I believe I've pronounced that right, but I'm probably wrong. How does it differ between playing in China and playing in South Korea?
Yeah, China was interesting. China was... The football is a lot slower than Korea. Korea is quite fast tempo. quite physical, very physical, more direct. In China, it tends to be, you know, quite warm for most of the season, and the game sort of is played due to the weather and also the training methods, I think, aren't quite at the level of other Asian or Australian countries. So, look, China's very different. China's it's a difficult country to adapt to. You know, the barriers, the cultural differences, the food, the pollution, you know, all these things sort of add up and make it sort of a quite a harsh environment. So, in a way, I see myself as lucky. It was the first place I went to in Asia, and you know, after I left there, I basically thought, you know, what if I can get through that? I can get through anything. And I honestly, I think, you know, if ever I'm having a hard time where I am, whether it's a problem with the language or a misunderstanding or something like that, I sort of just think back to China and just think, you know, well, it's not that bad after all. So, look, I absolutely love the China experience. It was harder while I was there, but looking back, it's something that, you know, I'm really grateful for and really matured a lot after being there, and I suppose became more appreciative of what we have at home.
How do you go about the language barriers in the countries that you've played in? I mean, we've got young people, young footballers who might want to get overseas and play at some stage in their career. How do you deal with the language barrier?
Yeah, I think, like, I've adapted to it now, so it's almost normal for me to have a translator in my ear, you know, 95% of the time.
Yep.
I think the most important thing for me and what I've done at both countries is pretty much straight away try and learn the key phrases that you need on the football pitch, left, right, men on, free, turn, all those things of the native language. And and I think once you get, you know, the main things you need to say on the pitch, you can get by quite easily. And also a lot of the boys, they understand enough English to get by also. So it's a good challenge. And you know, sometimes I sit there and think it'd be nice to have an English coach where I can understand everything, but, it's just part of it. And it's part of the experience. And if I do go back now, I want to try and learn a bit more Korean, because I've been there for 2 years, and if I go back, it'll be a bit longer. So I want to try and learn a bit more and try and adapt a bit more to the country.
We've also played in the UK. You were at Fulham and Norwich for a few years. How do you assess that period of your career?
Yeah, that was an interesting period. It was, you know, I sort of went there as a 21-year-old, and, you know, looking back, I think I went probably too high too early. And was starved of game time, which made me sort of lose my passion for the game a little bit at that stage of my career. And that was a hard period, probably mentally more than anything. And by the end of it, I was sort of really drained of football. But you know, when you're presented with that kind of opportunity when you're 21, it's pretty hard to knock back.
Yeah.
So you know, going to London as a 21-year-old, you know, fantastic experience for me, and you know, I learned a lot as well. I played and trained under good coaches and next to good players and things like that, and got to watch, you know, EPL matches every weekend. And so I take good and bad experiences from it. But look, I also look back and think that I was extremely lucky to be in that position as well.
So when we hear about, you know, players going to big clubs and then not playing in the first team, does that mean that you don't play games, or do you still play games regularly but in reserve sides or underage teams? How does that work?
Yeah, so I went basically as a development player, and we had that's basically a reserve team, but they had a name for it as a development squad. And so I trained predominantly with the first team, but then played sort of midweek games with reserve team. And it was the problem with that was it wasn't a game every week. It was a game every 2 weeks or a game every 3 weeks, and you don't have that consistency of playing football week in, week out, which is what you need at that age. And And then sometimes if there was a first teamer who was coming back from injury, then they'd be given the priority of the game time. So, you know, there was frustrations, and it was, you know, a cold, wet London night.
Yeah.
Under temporary floodlights sometimes was, you know, not the most, you know, exciting platform to be playing on. And
yep.
You know, I look back and I remember calling mum and dad sometimes just saying, I don't want to play, like, I'm sick of it. And they were sort of the harder times, but you know, you get through it, and you know, it's unfortunate that it didn't work out for me over there. But you know, from what I've experienced since, I'm pretty grateful for the career that I've had so far.
Mate, you've played in Australia, the UK, China, and South Korea. What's been your favourite country to play in so far?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, Australia's probably where I've you know, had the most joy, and playing for my hometown club, I suppose, was pretty special. And also, you know, being there from day one of the football club's existence also sort of has a pretty special place in my heart, and that'll always be my home club. So you know, my time at Melbourne Victory is probably the proudest time of my career, but. You know, Asia, I'd say South Korea is a fantastic country with beautiful people, and you know, I've got some very good friends from over there, and so does my wife. So that's a country that also will live with me forever as well.
You're in negotiations to extend your contract there in South Korea, so you've probably got the next couple of years of your footballing career planned. Do you have ideas of how you want to finish things up, and perhaps what you might want to do after football?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've always kept an eye on. I think, you know, the longer I go over there, the likelihood of me finishing the A-League is probably fading away. So, you know, I've got to be realistic as well. And I've always studied throughout my career. I'm currently doing a Bachelor of Business Sports Management at Deakin. Via the internet, so that keeps me busy, and you know, I think I'd like to somehow get involved in the sporting business world, and you know, when I retire, I'll be based in Victoria and close to Melbourne, and I suppose there's no better place in the world to be if you're interested in sports. So I think that's the angle I'll go down. But you know, for me at the moment, I just got to enjoy the last couple of years of my career and try and make the most of it.
Well, Adrian, thank you very much for being a part of the Aussies Abroad show here on Football Nation Radio. You've had a tremendous career so far. There's still plenty of years to go, and best of luck with it all, and particularly next season over there in South Korea.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time.
Adrian Layer there, former Melbourne Victory, Fulham, Norwich City, Chongqing Lifan player, and he's currently plying his trade in South Korea with Suwon FC. We're going to take a break here on Football Nation Radio. Coming after the break, we're going to have a chat with Dominic Karasik.